This year, in Literacy, we are reading Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl. We have decided to record the book on the radio for our younger listeners. We hope you enjoy it.
Este año estamos leyendo Charlie and the Chocolate Factory in Literacy. Hemos decidido grabar la lectura para nuestros oyentes más jóvenes. Esperamos que os guste.
Chapter 1. Here comes Charlie. These two very old people are the father and mother of Mr. Bucket. Their names are Grandpa Joe and Grandma Josephine. And these two very old people are the father and mother of Mrs. Bucket. Their names are Grandpa Joe and Grandma Georgina. This is Mr. Bucket. This is Mrs. Bucket. Mr. and Mrs. Bucket have a small boy whose name is Charlie Bucket. This is Charlie. How do you do? And how do you do? And how do you do again? He is pleased to meet you. The whole of this family, the six grown-ups, count them, and little Charlie Bucket, live together in a small wooden house on the edge of a great town. The house wasn't nearly large enough for so many people, and life was extremely uncomfortable for them all. There were only two rooms in the place altogether, and there was only one bed. The bed was given to the four old grandparents because they were so old and tired. They were so tired, they never go out of it. Grandpa Joe and Grandma Josephine on this side. Grandma Joe and Grandma Georgina on this side. Mr. and Mrs. Bucket and little Charlie Bucket sleep in the other room. Upton mattresses on the floor.
In the summertime, this wasn't too bad. But in the winter, freezing cold jugs blew across the floor all night long, and it was awful. There wasn't any question of them being able to buy a better house, or even one more bed to sleep in. They were far too poor for that. Mr. Bucket was the only person in the family with a job. He worked in a toothpaste factory. Where he sat all day long at a bench and screwed the little caps onto the tops of the tubes of toothpaste after the tubes had been filled. But a toothpaste cap screw is never paid very much money, and poor Mr. Bucket, however hard he worked and however fast he screwed on the caps, was never able to make enough for buy one half of the things that so large a family needed. There wasn't even enough money to buy proper food from them all. The only meals they could afford were bread and margarine for breakfast, boiled potatoes and cabbage for lunch, and cabbage soup for supper. Sundays were a bit better. They all looked forward to Sundays, because then all through they have exactly the same. Everyone was allowed a second helping. The Bucketts, of course, didn't starve, but everyone, one of them, the two old grandfathers, the two old grandmothers, Charlie's father, Charlie's mother, and especially little Charlie himself, went about from mornings till night with a horrible empty feeling in their tummies. Charlie felt it worst of all, and all through his father and mother often went without their own share of lunch or supper so that they could give it to him, and still wasn't nearly enough for a growing boy. He desperately wanted something more filling and satisfying than cabbage and cabbage soup.
The
The only thing he longed for more than anything else was chocolate. Walking to school in the mornings, Charlie could see great slabs of chocolate pills up high in the shop windows, and he would stop and stare and press his nose against the glass, his mouth watering like mad. Many times a day, he will see other children taking bars of creamy chocolate out of their pockets and munching them greedily. And that, of course, was poor torture.
Only was a year on his birthday did Charlie Bucket ever get to taste a bit of chocolate. The whole family saved up their money for that special occasion, and when the great day arrived, Charlie was always pressed with one small chocolate bar to eat all by himself. And it's time to receive it on those marvelous birthday mornings. He could place it carefully in a small wooden box that he owned and treasured it as though it were a bar of solid gold. And for the next few days, he could allow himself only to look at it, but never to touch it. Then, at last, when he could stand it no longer, he would peel back a tiny bit of paper, grabbing at one corner to spoil a tiny bit of chocolate, and then he would take a tiny nibble, just enough to allow the lovely sweet taste to spread out slowly over his tongue. The next day, he would take another tiny nibble, and so on and so on. And in this way, Charlie would make his 10-cent bar of birthday chocolate last him for more than a month. But I haven't yet told you about the one awful thing that tortured little Charlie, the lover of chocolate more than anything else. This thing for him was far, far worse than seeing slabs of chocolate in the shop windows or watching other children munching cream candy bars right in front of him. It was the most terrible, torturing thing you could imagine, and it was this. In the town itself, actually within sight of the house in which Charlie lived, there was an enormous chocolate factory. Just imagine that. And it wasn't simple, an ordinary enormous chocolate factory either. It was the largest and most famous in the whole world. It was Wonka's factory, owned by a man called Mr. Willy Wonka, the great inventor of and maker of chocolates that there has ever been. And what a tremendous, marvelous place it was. It had huge iron gates leading into it, and a high wall surrounding it, and smoke belching from its chimneys and strange whistling sounds coming from deep inside it. And outside the walls, for half a mile around in every direction, the air was scented with the heavy rich smell of melting chocolate. Twice a day, on his way to hand from a school, little Charlie Bucket had to walk right past the gate of the factory. And every time he went by, he would begin the walk very, very slowly. And he would hold his nose high in the air and take long deep sniff of the gorgeous chocolate smell all around him. Oh, how he loved that smell! And how he wished he could go inside the factory and see that it was like.